So we continue the meditation. So I think it's 1933, still the dates of the early ages of a novitiate, I think. He just finished his vows, first vows. Perpetual worlds. The moments I lived through when I was taking my perpetual worlds are better left unsaid. I am in him and he in me. As the bishop was putting the ring on my finger, God pervaded my whole being. And since I cannot express that moment, I will be silent about it. My relationship with God since my perpetual vows has been more intimate than it had ever been before. I sense that I love God and that He loves me. Having once tasted God, my soul could not live without Him. This is deep experience. Once you are close to Jesus, you never been far away, you know. So keep this relationship. 1 hour spent at the foot of the altar in the greatest dryness of spirit is dearer to me than 100 years of worldly pleasures. Even though you don't have so much things in the outside world, but just 1 hour before the Blessed Sacrament, for her is her eternity. I prefer to be a lowly judge in a convent than a queen in the world. I will hide from people's eyes whatever good I am able to do, so that God Himself may be my reward. Before God, not before the eye of people. No, that's also for you, for me too. Many times we seek appreciation from people, you know, at times. I will be like a tiny violet hidden in the grass, which does not hurt the foot that treads on it, but diffuses its fragrance and forgetting itself completely. Tries to please the person who has crushed it underfoot. This is very difficult for human nature, but God's grace comes to one's aid. But at times you don't feel comprehension from people, but still we're doing giving out the frequency, but steps by people, same times. But God will help. Thank you, Jesus, for the great favor of making known to me the whole abyss of our misery. I know that I am an abyss of nothingness, and that if your holy grace did not hold me up, I will return to nothingness in a moment. And so, with every beat of my heart, I thank you, my God, for your great mercy towards me. Tomorrow, I'm to leave for Vilnius. Today, I went to confession to Father Andres. This priest, who is so filled with the Spirit of God, who untied my wings so that I could soar to the highest summit. He reassured me in everything and told me to believe in divine providence. Have confidence and walk ahead with courage. An extraordinary divine power came over me after that confession. Father Andres stressed that I must be faithful to God's grace and said, no harm will come to you if, in the future, you continue to keep this same simplicity and obedience. Have confidence in God. You are on the right path and in good hands. in God's sense. Be assured of this. You're never alone. Jesus is with you. God is with you. That evening, I remained in the chapel a little longer. I talked to the Lord about a certain soul. He concerned the other souls. He got a kind of inspiration, someone who leads the prayer. Encouraged by his goodness, I said, Jesus, you gave me this Father Fernandez, who understands my inspirations, and now you are taking him away from me again. No more dependence. What am I going to do in this villainous the place? I don't know anyone there, and even the dialects of the people there is foreign to me. Oh, can you imagine, even in Poland, different province, different city, different dialect, the same as in the Philippines? I think some villages, one other is different, quite different. Even in China, in Guangdong, lots of dialects in Guangdong province. We couldn't understand one another. And the Lord said to me, do not fear. I will not leave you to yourself. At times we have phobia about something in the future. Don't know what happened. My soul drowned itself in a prayer of thanksgiving for all the graces that the Lord had granted me through the mediation of Father Andres. She's so grateful to him. Suddenly I remembered the vision in which I had seen that priest between the confessional and the altar, trusting that I would meet him someday. So that's what Father Andres, it should be Father Sopoko. He will become a saint in the future. And the words that I had heard came back vividly. He will help you to fulfill my will here on earth. His will to spread the good news of the divine mercy. Today, 27 May 1933. I am living for wilderness. When I came out of the house, I looked at the garden and the house. And when I cast a glance at the novitiate, tears suddenly ran down my cheeks. I remembered all the blessings and the graces bestowed on me by the Lord. Then, suddenly and unexpectedly, I saw the Lord by the flower bed, and he said to me, "Do not weep. I am with you always." God's presence, which enveloped me as Jesus was speaking, accompanied me throughout the journey. I had permission to visit Tekostokokwa while on my journey. I saw the Mother of God image for the first time when I went to attend the unveiling of the image at 5 in the morning. I prayed without interruption until 11, and it seemed to me that I had just come for her long time prayer from 5 a.m. to 11 a.m., 6 hours. For her, it's just a minute. I feel you have to learn this patience. At times, 5 minutes every 5 hours. We need to have this patience. The superior of the house there, Mother Seraphine, sent a seat to the floor for me to tell me to come to breakfast, and said she was worried that I would miss my train. She'll forget. I think she's forgetful. Just important is to be with Jesus and forget about the timetable of the train. The Mother of God told me many things. I entrusted my perpetual vow to her. I felt that I was her child and that she was my mother. She did not refuse any of my requests. I'm already in Vilnius today. I feel scattered, tiny huts make up the convent. It seems a bit strange to me after the large buildings of Jostro. There are only 18 sisters here. The house is small. The community life is more intimate. All the sisters received me very warmly, which was for me a great encouragement to endure the hardship that lay ahead. Sweet in the beginning, hardship afterwards. Sister Justin had even scooped the floor in anticipation of my arrival. What does it mean by scrub? S-C-R-U-B, scrub. S-C-R-U-B. Sister Justin had even scrubbed the floor in anticipation of my ask.
S-C-R-U-B.
He said it in a good sense or bad sense? Now she said, Sister Justin had even scrubbed the floor in anticipation of my arrival. Yeah, it's a good sense. I mean, prepare her room for her, or just doesn't want her to come and then, you know, I read again. Now, the house is small, but the community life is more intimate. All the sisters received me very warmly, which was for me a great encouragement to endure the hardship that lay ahead. Yeah. Sister Justin had even scrubbed the floor in anticipation of my arrival, so I don't think it's a good sense. Yeah. When I went to benediction, Jesus enlightened me on how I was to conduct myself in respect to certain persons. Now, preparing her to confront different persons, not welcoming persons, it seems. Let us see. I clung with all my might to the most sweet heart of Jesus. So at times you just only go to Jesus, no more human dependence. Knowing how much I would be exposed to external distraction because of the work I would be doing here in the garden, where I necessarily would be in close contact with lay persons. The week for confession came, and to my great joy, I saw the priest I had known before coming to Vilnius. That is to say, I had known him by seeing him in a vision, you know. She was in a vision, already saw this priest for confession. At that moment, I heard these words in my soul. This is my faithful servant. He will help you to fulfill my will here on earth. Yet I did not open myself to him as the Lord wished. And for some time, I struggled against grace. During each confession, God's grace penetrated me in a very special way. Yet I did not reveal my soul before him. And I put the intention of not going to confession to that priest. That's a temptation. After this decision, a terrible anxiety entered my soul. God reproached me severely. When I did lay bare my soul completely to this priest, Jesus poured an ocean of grace into it. Now I understand what it means to be faithful to a particular grace. That one grace draws down the whole series of others. So she overcame at last. Oh my Jesus, keep me near to you. See how weak I am. I cannot go a step forward by myself. So you, Jesus, must stand by me constantly. by a mother, by a helpless child, even more so. Day of work, of struggle, and of suffering have begun. Everything continued according to the common routine. One is always a novice, having to learn many things and to get to know about many things, because although the rule is the same, each house has its own customs, and thus each chain is a little novitiate, although she'll make the final vows. So each house is a new novitiate. They are new, so you are new. You have to follow, and you have to follow the rules of the people, not the secret rules of the house. August 5th, 1933, the Feast of Lady of Mercy. Today I received a great and incomprehensible grace, a purely interior love, interior one, for which I will be grateful to God throughout this life and in eternity. Jesus told me that I please him best by meditating on his sorrowful passion, and by such meditation, much light falls upon my soul. He wants to learn true humility should reflect upon the passion of Christ. When I meditate upon the passion of Christ, of Jesus, I get a clearer understanding of many things I could not comprehend before. I want to resemble you, O Jesus, you crucified, tortured, and humiliated. Jesus, imprint upon my heart and soul your own humility. I love you, Jesus, to the point of madness. You who were crushed with the suffering as described by the prophet Isaiah, as if he could not see the human form in you because of your great suffering. It is in this condition, Jesus, that I love you to the point of madness, O eternal and infinite God. What has love done to you? A feeling towards the suffering of Jesus. October 11, 1933, Tuesday, Thursday. I tried to make a holy hour, but began it with great difficulty. A certain yearning started to tear at my heart. My mind was dimmed so that I could not understand the simplest form of prayer. Lost a taste. And so passed by an hour of prayer, or rather of struggle. A time, I don't know whether for you, for me sometimes, time of prayer is a time of struggle. Until the end, although we say the rosary, after finishing, you don't know whatever you have meditated at all. Just finishing the 50 Hail Marys, at the end, what did I meditate? Struggle. Go ahead. And so passed by an hour of prayer, or rather of struggle. I resolved to pray for a second hour, but my inner sufferings increased, great dryness and discouragement. I resolved to pray for a third hour. At the third hour, which I resolved to spend kneeling without any support, my body started to clamor for rest. But I in no way relented. I stretched out my arms, and though I spoke no words, I persisted by sheer will. Very tiring, eh? Opened the arm. The whole hour, yeah. After a while, I took the ring off my finger and I asked Jesus to look at that ring. That sign of our eternal union. And I offered Jesus the feelings I had on the day of perpetual vows. Jesus, no, so dry. She offered the ring back to Jesus, asked him to see our faithfulness to one another. He's seeking it. After a while, I feel my heart inundated with a wave of love, a sudden recollection of spirit. The senses quiet down, and God's presence pervades my soul. I know only this, that it is Jesus and I. I saw him just as he had appeared to me in the instant after my perpetual vows, when I was likewise making holy hour. Jesus was suddenly standing before me, stripped of his clothes, his body completely covered with wounds, his eyes flooded with tears and blood, his face disfigured and covered with spittle. The Lord then said to me, "The bride must resemble her betrothed." I understood these words to the very depth. There is no room for doubt here. My likeness to Jesus must be through suffering and humility. See what love of human souls has done to me, the word of Jesus. See what love for human souls has done to me. My daughter, in your heart I find everything that so great a number of souls refuses me. Your heart is my repose. I often wait with great graces until towards the end of prayer. So Jesus, resting in her soul, that's why she's not quiet. Jesus is suffering. So at times you suffer, believe him. Jesus is resting in you. So we share the suffering of Jesus, right? Does it make sense? At times when you do kind prayer, so dried, there's the dryness of Jesus himself. He just rests on you. You are his spouse. Bride. Once, when I had finished a novena to the Holy Spirit for the intention of my confessor, Father Sopuko, the Lord answered, "I made him known to you even before your superiors had sent you here. As you will act towards your confessor, so I will act toward you. If you concealed something from him, even though it be the least of my grace, I too will hide myself from you, and you will remain alone." That means you're open to my confessor, I open to you. If you're close to self, you can see me. And so I follow God's wish, and a deep peace filled my soul. Now I understand how the Lord defends confessors, and how he protects them. So Jesus loves Sister Faustina, but Jesus also loves the confessors. So Jesus is fair. You say Jesus loves you, and loves her too, but just only you. Be careful. At times we keep absolutely, Jesus, me is mine. Yes, and not yet. Because Jesus also loved the others. So can be jealous. Why? She said, "Much grace I don't have." Now, I think we have some more time, a little time to listen to something. Advice of Father Reverend Dr. Sopoko. Without humility, we cannot be pleasing to God. That's her advice. I think this word from her confessor. Without humility, we cannot be pleasing to God. Practice the third degree of humility. That is, not only must one refrain from explaining and defending oneself when reproached with something, but one should rejoice at the humiliation. so much for you. At times we explain, humility. And with joy, one should rejoice at the humiliation. Be happy if someone shouts to you and not to bite. If the things you're telling me really come from God, prepare your souls for the great suffering. You will encounter disapproval and persecution. They will look upon you as a hysteric and eccentric, but the Lord will lavish His graces upon you. True works of God always meet opposition and are marked by suffering. Whatever you do, for the best, the will of God, you will encounter suffering Jesus. Okay? You will encounter suffering Jesus. We share, because you love so much, so just love Jesus the same. If God wants to accomplish something, sooner or later, He will do so in spite of the difficulties. Your part in the meantime is to arm yourself with great patience. Patience. Wait. Don't hurry the time. The time's not right. When the Reverend Dr. Sopoko went to the Holy Name, Father Dabrowski was the community's confessor. During the confession, he asked me if I was aware of the high degree of spiritual life that was present in my soul. I answered that I was aware of it and knew what was going on within me. To this, the father replied, "You must not destroy what is going on in your soul, nor must you change anything on your own. It is not in every soul that the beautiful gifts of a higher interior life is manifest as it is in your case. So it is manifest in an immense degree. But be careful not to waste these great graces of God." So this is another person, just encourage her. But previously, this priest had put me through many trials, you know, so different. In the past, she said, "This priest, no good for my soul." But now this priest confirmed what she has. When I told him that the Lord wanted these things of me, that is the painting of the image of establishing of a feast of the Divine Mercy and the founding of a new community, he laughed at me and told me to come to confession at 8 in the evening. When he came at 8, my brother was already locking the church. When I told him that Father had ordered me to come at that time and asked him to let Father know I was there, the good brother went to let him know. Father told me to tell me that priests do not hear confession at that time of day. I returned home empty-handed and did not go to confession to him again. But I made the whole hour's adoration and took on certain mortifications for him, that he might obtain light from God in order to know souls. But when Father Sopoko left and he substitute for him, I was forced to go to confession to him. Yet, while previously he had been unwilling to acknowledge these interior inspirations, he now puts me under obligation to be faithful to them. God lets such things happen sometimes, but may He be glorified in everything. Still, it requires much grace not to falter. So, I think this Father Drowski, just a test for her, you know, come for confession at 8 p.m. in the evening. So it's a test. but it's also a gift. So that's the conclusion of Sister Faustina is, when you do God's work, never missing any temptations, many graces come from suffering also. But be patient, be humble, and be humiliated with joy. So let us share our life with Sister Faustina, asking her to give us all these graces this week, always ready to see our yes to only Jesus. We say the suffering Jesus, or we say Jesus forsaken.